I've told some of you before that when I was growing up, I used to love hearing stories. My dad was a great storyteller. Now, he traveled a lot when I was growing up, and often he would be away, and so I don't actually remember him reading a lot of stories to us, but I do remember him telling stories to us. He'd tell stories about things that happened to him when he was growing up. Sometimes he would tell us stories about things that experiences that he had when he was in the army. Often we kids would ask Dad to tell us stories that we'd already heard him tell before. Didn't matter that we knew how the stories went. The stories were good ones, and we wanted to hear them again. When I think of Dad's storytelling, I remember him telling a story to a group of children at a church camp in northern British Columbia many years ago. Every afternoon for a week, Dad would gather all the children around, and he would tell parts of C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Now, he didn't read the book to us. No, he knew the story so well that he just told it. It was as though the story was inside of him. And you know, as Dad told us that story, I found the story making its way inside of me. I almost believe that if I were to just shut my eyes, I'd actually be able to enter into the story. You know, years ago, stories were just told. People didn't write the stories down. Instead, they were passed down verbally from person to person. The Hebrew people, they were great storytellers. And there seemed to be so many stories to tell. Stories about God and about how God came through for his people. Stories about people and their relationship with God. Some of the stories were examples of people demonstrating great faith, and other stories were of people who seemed to stumble and fall along the way. The stories became so familiar. I can imagine, even among the children, perhaps even among some of the adults, as the stories were being told and retold, I can imagine people thinking, if I just close my eyes, I can see myself as part of the story. It's my prayer this evening that tonight we might be able to move beyond this being simply a story that we hear, and towards something that we might become a part of. That if we were to just close our eyes, we might see ourselves in the midst of the story. It's the Thursday of Holy Week. What would that week have been like for the disciples? What would have been going on inside of them as they journeyed along behind Jesus? Well, it was the time of the Passover. Although Jesus had been trying to open up the eyes of the disciples to what he would be experiencing once he arrived in Jerusalem, I think for the disciples, they just thought of it as being, they were there for the Passover. That's why they were coming to Jerusalem. I mean, that's what faithful Jewish people did. At the times of the great religious festivals, they traveled to Jerusalem to worship. And yet, remember what they experienced upon their arrival. They had arrived in Jerusalem 4 days earlier, on a Sunday. And I can imagine the disciples still feeling as though the whole experience had been surreal and had been something that had taken their breath away. Close your eyes and imagine it. Jesus is on a donkey. and he crests a hill. And on the other side of the hill, there is a huge crowd of people there before him. I can almost hear their voices. I can almost sense the excitement in the air. People are shouting Hosanna. They're cutting down palm branches and waving them high in the air. Palm branches, they were reserved for royalty. And people were waving those branches for Jesus. Can you imagine what it might have been like? Can you imagine what it might have felt like to be there that day with Jesus? And yet, did you notice? As Jesus got further into the city, it all just seemed to start to fade. The excitement, the anticipation, the sheer noise, it all just started to fade into the background. By the end of the day, there was nobody following. No more palm branches being waved in the air. It was just Jesus and his disciples. How would that have made you feel? What would have been going on inside of you? The next few days, we really don't know all that much about them. It seems like Jesus and the disciples were just they kept themselves low for a time. But then on the Thursday, they started getting ready for the Passover. Now, I sometimes think there's a tendency in us to think that this was their first Passover in Jerusalem with Jesus. I think it's highly unlikely. Much more reasonable to believe that Jesus and his disciples had gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover each year that the disciples had been following Jesus. Whether that's the case or not, Passover meals, whenever they were held, Passover meals were all the same, from one house to the next. Year after year after year, they were the same. The same stories would be told. The same actions would be done. It was all a way of keeping the story of the first Passover alive. A way of keeping that story present in the minds and the hearts of those who were participating. But on this night, something was different about it. I can imagine the disciples not really being able to put their finger on it, but there was something that had them a little bit on edge. And then something unexpectedly happened. And it caught the disciples completely off guard. Jesus got up from where he was sitting. He took off his outer garment. And then he went to get a pitcher of water, a bowl, and a towel that had been left at the front door of that upper room. The disciples, they knew why it was at that front door. It was so people could wash their feet. But they couldn't understand what Jesus was doing because it didn't make any sense at all. Because Jesus, he got down, he started pouring the water into the basin. And then he started to wash the feet of his disciples. I can just sense the confusion in those disciples. They couldn't believe what Jesus was doing. He came up to each one of them and he started washing their feet. I think you probably could have heard a pin drop in that room. I think we assume that foot washing was something that was typically done by servants in those days. But you know what? Even servants, that wasn't their responsibility. People washed their own feet. They would see to it themselves. And yet Jesus starts to wash the feet of his followers. One by one, he sprinkles water on them and he dries them with a towel. Until, of course, he gets to Peter. Peter says, "No way. You're not going to do that to me. I should be doing it to you." And then Jesus said, "Unless you let me do this, you're going to have no part with me." So Peter reluctantly gave in. And Jesus continued to wash the feet of the other disciples. And then when Jesus was finished, he folded up the towel, put back on his outer garment, and he sat back down at the table with his friends. Again, there was silence until Jesus said this, "As I have done, so are you to do to one another." Jesus had just demonstrated humble servanthood. He had just offered them a demonstration of love. And he also said these words, "As I have loved you, so must you love one another." He said, "No one is greater than their master. As you have seen me do, now you must do to one another." After Jesus had washed the feet of his friends, it was time for the Passover meal. Passover was so full of meaning. A meal in which people would recall God's deliverance of their people years ago from the land of Egypt. And yet again, this Passover was different. They didn't just recite the same words. They didn't just carry out the same actions. As the evening unfolded, Jesus placed on the table before them a loaf of bread and a cup of wine. Listen to how the gospel writer Mark speaks about that evening. He says this, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it." And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body." Then he took a cup. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." What did Jesus mean? What does it all mean? Even though we've heard those words so many times before, it's hard to grasp the depth of them. This is my body. This is my blood. It was as though Jesus was inviting his disciples to take him into themselves. As food nourishes, as drink quenches, Jesus invited his friends to take into them all that he was. He was offering his life, offering his all, to take into themselves Jesus, to take into ourselves Jesus. That as food and drink become part of us when we consume that food and that drink, so Jesus might become part of us. That Jesus might dwell in our hearts by faith. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that after Jesus and his disciples had shared in that meal together, and then after they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And there, then they continued walking until they came to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus asked his disciples to stay and to keep watch. Well, he would go a bit further to pray. Jesus' prayer was a desperate one. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. We're told that things were so intense that sweat, like drops of blood, dripped from Jesus' forehead. Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. After praying that prayer, Jesus went back to his friends, only to find them sleeping. Can you believe it? The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. He'd given his all to them. And here he was, just hours before his death, and all his friends could do was sleep. And yet, isn't that like us so much of the time? So wrapped up in what we think we need, we become blind to the needs around us. Jesus asks them to keep watch with him again, and he goes off to pray. And yet this time Jesus' prayer changes. No longer is it, if it is possible, then take this cup. No, instead, it becomes this. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. Death loomed in front of Jesus. And yet he was willing to face it. Willing to face it for the sake of those he'd come for. Willing to face it for the sake of you and me. What an incredible gift. He would not let us fall. He would not let us go. It was an offering he was willing to make. And so Jesus finished his prayer. And he returned once again to his friends. And once again he found them sleeping. Until they heard a commotion. Listen to how Matthew describes what happens next. Jesus said to his disciples, "Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. And upon that, when the soldiers arrested him, Peter responded by drawing his own sword. And he struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him. "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then Matthew tells us that all the disciples deserted him and fled. Things ended very abruptly that evening. And so they end abruptly for us as well. We're not going to be singing a final song. There's not going to be any closing prayer. No blessing or formal dismissal. No, I'm just going to clear things away from the table this evening, and then our live stream will end. And I invite you to join with us at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning as our Holy Week journey continues.